Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Beaver Dam. I am your host, James Hudson, joined along with the man, the myth, the legend, Floyd Krajovic. Floyd, how are you doing today?
You know, I had a migraine not too long ago. It's gone now, and I'm feeling great.
That is good to hear, Floyd. You know, neither of us were in the studio last Friday. Neither of us were able to do the game, or not the game, but the show.
I have no idea how any of this stuff works.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's good to be back here in the studio.
Yeah.
And to jump off the show, Colin Kaepernick, he was offered a contract in what?
The Alliance Football Association, or something, the AFF.
So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about the AFF, Floyd?
So there's been a lot of, like, mini football leagues that have come out during, like, the basketball season, and the AFF is another one. So it's basically, like, football players who don't get drafted or football players who get cut from teams that have been playing in the NFL, they go there and they prove they can still prove themselves. And then after the Alliance Football Conference League thing is done, they can they're eligible to be signed by NFL teams. So it's basically like a training ground for for football players. And on Kaepernick, he was reached out by the AFF to play. And unfortunately, they couldn't come to a term deal because Kaepernick was asking for $20 million. Do you think that was a fair price for him to ask?
I don't know.
I mean, it's a small league that just started up. And here's my thing. If you're looking to prove yourself, you just blew a chance to prove yourself. Because in all honesty, I watched a few of the games. I watched a lot of the highlights. A lot of the quarterbacks in there, they weren't too impressive except for the hot shots. If I remember right, they were the only team to actually pitch a shutout and blow their opponent out. And I feel like he could have had an opportunity to show people that, hey, he's still in this.
Yeah. It's definitely a big thing for Kaepernick, you know, being out of the league for so long, you know. And that's definitely, I look for him to maybe reconsider how much money he wants.
I looked at the Twitter feed when this came out. Well, not when that came out, but when the story about him and Reed, what was it again?
They settled their thing with the NFL.
Yeah, and they were saying, man, and a lot of the comments were, man, Kaepernick must be desperate for money if he's doing this. And and people saying he should have took the AFF offer. He shouldn't be asking $20 million. It's like he hasn't been, in my opinion, he has not been good since he lost the Super Bowl. And I feel like he needs to definitely to go out and prove himself. Because as of right now, I would take any quarterback in the draft over him, and I would take any quarterback out in free agency over him right now, because he is an unproven commodity that hasn't been in the league.
Absolutely. I definitely think you're right. Also, in the NFL, for you Browns fans out there, Cleveland Browns have recently announced they are signing running back from the Kansas City Chiefs, Kareem Hunt. Hunt may sound familiar to you because he had a domestic violence ordeal earlier this season. There was talk that he was, violent to this woman. And there's video and there's evidence of him kicking her and doing some bad things to her, assaulting her, basically.
Yes.
And it says right here from ESPN that, you know, the general manager, John Dorsey, believes in second chances, and that's what he's going to give Hunt. And, you know, the NFL has not ruled on Hunt's suspension yet, so he's more than likely going to be suspended a few games to begin this NFL season coming up. But I don't know how I feel about it. You know, Kareem Hunt's a great running back. I mean, if he can keep his nose clean off the field, it'll be a good, decent move for the Browns. But what I don't understand is the Browns, you know, they went 7-8-1 last season, third in the conference, and they have Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb's a great running back.
Like that, I think that was my biggest problem with this move is why you have a running back. You even got Duke Johnson if needed.
Yeah, if needed.
And like, yeah, Duke Johnson, he's kind of made it clear he wants to be out of the receiver and stuff, but he can still do it if needed.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I feel like Chubb should take this as a personal blow to himself.
I think there was definitely better ways the Browns could have spent their money, you know, rather than spending it to sign Kareem Hunt when they already have a great running back in Chubb. They could have used their money to sign a couple more defensive players, maybe one or two better wide receivers. You know, something out there that could have helped the team in the long run.
Or how about just not sign another guy that's probably going to end up like Gordon again, where you give him a contract over and over and over, and he just never plays.
Yeah, exactly. Because like last season, the Browns, their defense just kept getting hurt and hurt and hurt.
Right.
And I feel like they could have used this money that they spent for Hunt and signed a couple defensive players, even if they were just the backups. This way, if our starters continue to get hurt, you know, our defense isn't going to fall apart.
Now, I did read an article on free agency that there is one move the Browns can make for a defensive lineman. Do you want to know who it is?
Who?
Ndamukong Suh from the Los Angeles Rams.
That would be pretty cool.
So from what the article said is, the Browns can outbid the Rams for any price Suh wants. What do you think?
I think that'd be a great move for the Browns, getting somebody up front on the... I mean, the Browns have a great defensive back. They have a great defensive backfield, I think. And I think it'd be great to have somebody up front and personal.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the D-line, it's really important because, like, as a defensive lineman myself, the coach is always stressed. It starts up front. The battle starts in the trenches. If you win the trenches, you win the play.
Yeah. That would be a great thing for the Browns, and you know the off season's just getting started, and so we have a long wait ahead to see what moves the Browns make to potentially help their season. And you know, last season they were a lot better than they had been in years past, and I think people are ready for them to finally become a contender for that Super Bowl ring.
Well, if you actually look at the conference in retrospect, the Bengals still suck.
The Steelers are going to be bad with losing Antonio Brown.
The Steelers are imploding on themselves right now.
The Ravens aren't really anything special.
The Ravens just traded away their only quarterback.
Well, they have Lamar Jackson.
No, he's not a quarterback. He's a running back playing quarterback.
Okay.
He is literally a runner. He's a pretend quarterback. He can't throw. If you watched the San Diego Chargers versus the Baltimore Ravens, if you take away his run game, he's useless. You've put enough pressure on him in the pocket, he's useless as a quarterback. The only reason that game was as close as it was is because the San Diego Chargers, I'm just going to keep calling them San Diego. I really don't care. They backed off all the pressure on him. He is not a good quarterback. I don't care if they say, oh, we're going to spend our utmost effort to develop him as a passer. He is not a passer. He's a runner.
Yeah,
he was more of a running back than anything else.
Yeah, I mean the Browns are gonna. I mean, at least in the division, they're gonna have a good time. But you know, the Bengals aren't gonna be anything super good.
Plus, Steelers are imploding.
The Bengals still don't even have a head coach right now.
Yeah,
the Browns are looking good. Then you have the Ravens, which, like we said, are not gonna be anything too special. The Steelers are just imploding, like you said. So it's.
If the Browns cannot win the conference this year,
I know
this team is literally cursed to be bad.
Yep,
there is no excuse the Browns shouldn't win because just looking at how each team finished and what's happened so far, the Browns definitely look like they're going to be the best team in the AFC North.
Absolutely.
If they cannot win this, they're either just tanking on purpose because, you know, why not?
They want that first round draft pick.
Yeah. They need the first round draft pick for some reason. Who knows? Maybe they want to draft another quarterback as soon as possible with it. I just don't know like a fathomable reason why they should not win next season.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, more professional sports, and then the Bluffton Beaver basketball teams both competed Wednesday, and we will have those recaps coming up. You're listening to The Beaver Dam here on 96.1 The Wit.
You're listening to The Beaver Dam. On 96.1 The Wit.
And we're back here with the Beaver Dam 96.1 The Wit. James Hudson joined along with Floyd Krajovic. We just got done talking NFL, Floyd, and we're going to jump in right into baseball. Pitchers and catchers, excuse me, for the Cincinnati Reds and for a lot of other teams where, you know, they had to come in for spring training and spring training starting to get underway for baseball teams. And I'm excited for this season. What do you think, Floyd?
Definitely should be an interesting one. The Red Sox, Astros, and Yankees have all been trying to make moves this offseason to keep themselves ahead of the curve. If you look at what the Indians have been doing, I'm an Indians fan, so I've been paying great attention to it. They have been doing anything but helping their case this year.
Yeah, I was really afraid. You know, the Indians have been good, pretty decent the last two seasons, and you know, I'm really surprised about why they're trading everybody away and ruining their team.
I'd say they've been mediocre. They've been literally banking on the rest of the conference just being bad. And this year, like the Twins, they've been making some good moves. Tigers seem to be coming around with their young team finally. I mean, the Twins, I think, are the biggest threat next year. And that's what a couple of the articles I've been saying, is that the Twins are going to be the ones to give the Indians a run for their money next season.
Yeah, but the big talk right now is the Reds. They've made a lot of off-season changes, hiring almost a whole new coaching staff and bringing in a lot of guys. Yasiel Puig bringing in there. You know, they kept Joey Votto, and they got a lot of guys from the team last season. And I think the Reds are going to be a great baseball team this season.
And this team's still in the hunt for both Harper and Machado, who are still both unsigned.
Yeah.
The two biggest stars, well, two of the most biggest stars in MLB are still unsigned, and spring ball is starting in a week?
Almost 2 weeks, yeah. I mean, it would be nice if the Reds could get somebody like Bryce Harper. That would be amazing. Or
Manny Machado.
Yeah. I mean, it would be just another upbeat star for the Reds. You know, they haven't really had a lot of big name stars since they had the full roster of, you know, Brandon Phillips and Joey Votto and Jay Bruce and Billy Hamilton. You know, it's been a while since the Red Leagues have had a good star filled team, and so I'm really excited for this baseball season. My grandpa and I used to watch Reds baseball all the time, and you know, it's just been disappointing the last few seasons, to say the least. And so I'm excited to see them do a little better this season.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the only teams that's been making a big noise in the offseason, in my opinion. At least the only one of notable.
Yeah.
The only other like big issue you've been having this entire offseason is players complaining about how slow the free agency's been for the MLB.
Yeah. It has been very slow. You know, teams are wanting to offer low ball numbers and not pick up these guys for what they want to, what they're worth.
Well, here's the thing, though. The teams that are worth going to, they're over the luxury tax already. And if they gave them these max, like 7-year max deals, they'd ended up losing more money than they'd be getting.
Yeah, that's definitely
and
true.
And it's just, I feel like that it's more or less the fact that there is pretty much no cap space, because players can ask for whatever they want. And I think that might be the problem for the MLB's like free agency, is just players can go out and ask whatever they want because they know that some teams will have the cap space for that. And I just feel that Harper and Machado, they're a phenomenal, amazing baseball players. Don't get me wrong. They are great at what they do and all that. But you're not going to get a 7-year deal from these teams. You're not going to get over $500 million. You got to just take the low ball deal so the team can still do stuff. And that's another problem. If they do these deals, teams don't want to be backed into a corner saying, okay, we have to rely on this team right now,
yeah,
and we can't go out and do anything. So I feel like Harper and Machado, they're not going to get what they want.
Yeah, they're not going to get what they want, but they should be offered a contract that they'll at least take eventually.
They've been offered contracts.
They just don't want to take them.
Because they're not max. They're not what they want, but they're not going to get what they want.
Exactly.
And that's what they need to understand. Yeah, you're great baseball players, but you're not going to get, your holdout is not going to get you anything.
Yeah, that's definitely true. All right, we're going to take another short break. When we come back, more sports talk here on the Beaver Dam. You're listening to 96.1 The Wit.
You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
And we're back here with the Beaver Dam, 96.1 The Wit. James Hudson joined along with Floyd Krajovic. Floyd, we've been talking sports, NFL, and MLB. Right now, we're going to jump into some basketball. The Ohio State Buckeyes took on Illinois yesterday. They lost that game 63-56. Ohio State has had a very up and down season this season. You know, they won, looked to be, six straight games. Then they lost one to Syracuse earlier in the season. And then, of course, they won six more straight in a row until going on a losing streak that started with Michigan State in January. That's when they started to lose it. They lost five straight from there, and it's just been an up-and-down spiral since then. Winning one here, losing another one, you know. It's, you know, everybody had their, you know, thoughts in their heads thinking Ohio State was actually going to be competing for, in basketball this season, starting out that season with a 12-1 record, and then we just got into Big Ten play, and Ohio State just couldn't handle it. And like you've said before on the show, you know, all these other teams, they recruit for basketball. Ohio State's a football team.
Yeah, so you just basically sums up my entire argument for me.
Sorry. Yeah, my bad.
I mean, it just means less work for me to do.
On the other end of Ohio, Toledo, their basketball team is an astonishing 20-4 this season.
That, for Toledo, is phenomenally impressive.
That is a heck of a record. You know, Toledo really hasn't faced anybody that's ranked, other than Buffalo, who they lost to earlier in the season, 110-80, and they play them again tonight at 7 o'clock. But that is still a heck of an accomplishment for Toledo. You know, being one of the smaller Division I schools, you know, I mean, being 20-4 is just an amazing record.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I don't remember the last time Toledo in any of their any of the major sports that I pay attention to, football, basketball, baseball, that they've had something like this, something to be like, wow, Toledo looks phenomenally good.
Yeah, you know, Toledo's not ranked, but they have a chance to face Buffalo tonight, who's ranked 25th, and maybe if they are able to beat Buffalo, they'll give everybody the looking they were hoping to get, and maybe they'll maybe get ranked.
I feel that they're just going to have to trounce Buffalo for that to happen.
Well, you know, it could happen.
Floyd. No, it can't.
Floyd.
Basketball is not football.
All right, Floyd. We'll go with what you said.
I know, because I'm right.
Something we don't usually talk about, but it's getting a little bigger now that the season's starting to roll around, is golf. And right now, the Genesis Open is going on. Your top five leaderboards are J.B. Holmes. Adam is in first right now. Adam Scott and Jordan Spieth are both tied for second at 7-under for the rounds. Tied for fourth is Brian Studart and Justin Thomas. And rounding out that, tied for sixth, it looks like, is John Rahm, Patrick Rogers, Tony Finau, and Kramer Hickok. Yeah, a couple of names I didn't know how to pronounce there. But, you know, golf, I really enjoy golf, and it's been nice to be able to get on and watch some golf going on. Also out there in the lineup is Matt Kuchar, tied for 21st, 3-under. Also out there is big name Tiger Woods, tied for 21st as well, 3-under for today. That's only round one, because of course round one yesterday got delayed so early that they just remade the round up, the entire round. So everybody who was having a bad day yesterday just got a good fresh start today. And it was that, you know, good for the golf, for the guys who are playing pretty bad.
You guys got to love it when Mother Nature or just comes in and helps you out.
That's definitely true. Trying to look and see if there's any more big-name guys playing out there right now. I don't see any other than guys that are below the cut. The cut right now is projected at one under. Looks like Jason Duffner is even, so he is potentially being cut from the tournament. I don't see... Oh, there we go. Phil Mickelson is actually one over for the round after coming off a great win last week at the... whatever that tournament was. It was a where famous people play as well. Can't think of the word for it. Anyway, he won that for like the sixth time, but he's not playing so hot this week at one over.
Maybe he's got some title hangover.
That could be. Dustin Johnson, two over for the round, shooting a 73 today. And that is really it that I see here on the leaderboards. And so it's been a rough day for some guys, but other guys, 7 under for JB Holmes on the tournament right now. He's he's even for today. He's only through one, according to that. Let me refresh the page and see what it says. Because, of course, this is in a different time zone, so they are playing right now. Looks like he is still he's 8 under now. Excuse me. Well, we're gonna take another short break. When we come back, we will wrap up the show with Bluffton Beaver basketball, both teams competing last Wednesday against Manchester. You're listening to the Beaver Dam here on 96.1 The Wit.
You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
We are back here to the Beaver Dam, 96.1 The Wit. James Hudson joined along with Floyd Krajovic. Floyd, we've been talking NFL, you know, we had some MLB thrown in there, college basketball, a little bit of golf, and now we're talking Bluffton. And the Bluffton University men's basketball team knocked off the Manchester University Spartans on senior night, 61-44, for a big Heartland Conference win at the Sommer Center on Wednesday. Although the Beavers struggled from the field, they led from wire to wire, excuse me. Manchester's lackluster shooting allowed the home team to come away with a pivotal win. Bluffton improves to 17-7 overall and 11-6 in the Heartland Conference, while Manchester fell to 9-15 overall and just 6-11 in the HCAC. The 11 Heartland Conference victories established a new school record for the men's basketball team.
Congrats to them.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a big ordeal for the men's basketball team, and they've been playing some great basketball all this season.
Yeah, I mean, normally I don't hear much about our basketball teams. Normally I don't hear much about our basketball teams being over the last 4 years, but this year it's just been the guys' team just going off, like doing magic.
Absolutely.
And it's just really impressive.
It was a great game. I was unable to attend that game, but I heard that it was a great game. I know Trent and Pat brought you guys that game live here on 96.1 The Wit, and so I'm sure that it was a great game for those guys to call.
Yeah, no doubt.
Also, on Wednesday night, the Bluffton University women's basketball team defeated Manchester by a score of 77-69 in a thrilling overtime battle on Wednesday. The win pushes the Beavers to 9-15 on the year, 7-10 in the Heartland Conference play, and Manchester dropped to 4-20 and is now 2-15 in the HCAC. Bluffton's victory, combined with Earlham's loss in Defiance, has the Beavers assured a spot in the upcoming HCAC tournament that is slated to kick off on Tuesday.
Let's go.
That is amazing. You know, the women's team did not start off the way they were hoping to, you know, having some rough competitions earlier in this season. But late this season, we have just been seeing them come alive.
I mean, that whole thing we've been talking about, like, earlier in, like, the first half of the season is the team trying to gel together. After they lost their three big, like, producers to graduation, you just got to get the team to gel, and they've just been playing together, and they've been playing team basketball, and they've just
absolutely
just played some phenomenal games.
Well, both teams will be going at it tomorrow. Tomorrow is both teams' last regular scheduled game for the season, and then both teams will enter HCAC conference play. Both teams are at Franklin tomorrow. The men starting at 4 o'clock, or no, excuse me, the women starting at 4 o'clock. I would assume the men, oh no, that is the men. Sorry, the men are slated to start at 4 o'clock, and the women are slated to start at, let me see, you got to scroll down here, at 2 o'clock. So the women at 2 and the men's at 4 at Franklin. That's the regular scheduled game. And then after that, both teams will head to the HCHC tournament. You know, I would assume the men are going to be in that. The men are still racing for the win in the HCAC, trying to win the title. So
they still have a chance?
I do believe so. Let me pull up the HCAC's website.
Because if I remember right, they had to win out, and they had to beat, like, Rose and Transylvania again.
Well, maybe
and that didn't
I'm
happen.
Wrong. I it's been a while since I've had to talk about it. Let me see. Yeah, I think you're right, Floyd. The men are 11-6 in the conference. Hanover is 13-4. So yeah, with only one game left in the regular season, the men are not going to be able to get back up into the top rankings. Nonetheless, though, a lot better season than anybody expected from the men.
Yeah.
You know, people were saying that the women's team was going to be great this year and the men were going to be so-so, and it just, the tables turned. The women were on fire, or the men had been on fire. The women, you know, had some struggles early in the season, but have really started to come alive. And, you know, even though the men are not going to win the HCAC, both teams are going to enter the tournament, and both teams are really going to want to play well in this tournament.
I think both teams are going to go out and try to prove something. Try to prove that, A, we might have not played the best during the regular season, or you might have bested us during the regular season, whatever storyline you want to put on it. And they're just going to go out there, they're going to play some good basketball, and they're going to try their hardest to come away with the HCAC title.
Absolutely. One thing I wanted to mention is sophomore Kylie Brock had 29 points in their game on Wednesday against Manchester. That is amazing. You know, Brock, from the games I've seen, she doesn't start because she, you know, she plays more of a point guard position, and they have TJ Mills in there starting at point. But Brock, if she's coming off the bench scoring 29 points, that is a heck of a game.
Yeah, that is one really good game.
Absolutely. Floyd, do you have anything to add for this edition of the Beaver Dam?
I am Floyd. Everything I say is right, and it stays that way no matter what.
Yeah, we'll go with that, Floyd. That's what we're going to say, all right?
Yeah, that's why I said it.
And that wraps up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us on Monday. Check out previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play. The WIT 961 podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TheBeaverDam961. For more stories and information, check out our website, bluftonwit.com, and subscribe. This has been James Hudson, joined along with Floyd Krajovic, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.
Roll Beavs.